And from last truth camp until now, God's done some things that if it had not been for him, you wouldn't be here this year. Some of you that know that's the reality, now you can clap your hands, but somebody needs just to raise them for just a moment and just take some time. Say, thank you, Lord. If it hadn't have been for you, if it hadn't have been for the Lord that was on my side, if it had not been for God that stood before me and undergirded me and kept me, was going before me and at my back, if it hadn't been for God, I don't know where I'd be, but I'm here again this year. Come on, there's something that you ought to be able to lift your voice about right now and say, thank God, thank God. Thank God that, yes, 16 years later, Truth Camp's still going. But 6 months later, maybe a year later, I've still got something to stand up and say, I've held on to the same victory that I got in an old-fashioned altar not all that long ago. And it makes me want to let the devil know, you ain't won yet. I'm not through yet. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving over. I'm not giving in to the day that we live in. But I'm going to keep on loving God. I'm going to keep on worshiping him. I'm going to declare to the world around me that greater is he that's within me than he that is within the world. Somebody raise your hands and give God glory in this place tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I know that we started later, and because of that, we're going to do our best just to get right into the preaching of the word. We may do more singing as the week goes on. But if you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 8, we want to read from there tonight. Brother Tommy, I lost a lot of this monitor up here. Maybe because that one got turned off. I'm not sure. I know that's going out toward them. We're going to give these brothers all the time that they need to work the kinks out of this system. Because I'm hoping they'll give me some time to work the kinks out of mine. This is about the fifth youth camp that we've preached this year. And I know that every youth camp is unique. But I need God's strength this week. I need him to touch me physically, touch my body, touch my mind. I'd love for God in this year that we look around and things are worse than they've ever been. I believe the state of affairs of our country, we need a generation that's going to rise up and be who God called us to be. I look around tonight and there's a lot of us that are probably oblivious to what's going on in our nation to some degree, but God's not going to allow the killing that's going on, the murdering of at least two babies every minute. God's about to judge this nation. God's not going to allow a Muslim president like we have to continue to go on and mock God, glorify sodomy. God's not going to allow that to go on unpunished. What I've come to tell you is if something doesn't happen, and I understand God is controlling everything, moving everything in the direction that he wants it to go. But can I tell you, though I don't see America in the end times in the Bible, I see the church. The church is there all the way until the rapture. And I want to tell you, it's up to you and I to make a difference in the land that we live in right now. I wanted to start this week in me. I want a renewed hunger, a fresh desire, God, to do something new in us. Our world's wrapping up, and I've said this to many pastors that I have called and scheduled. We've made plans for next year, and it looks like we're booking up fast. And I thank the Lord for that. But I have attentively let them know, I don't know that I'll make it to your church because I feel like the rapture will take place. And young people, I want you to look at me. Look at this young man in the eye. I've never felt the way I feel right now about the coming of the Lord. I believe it could be so soon. The way things are wrapping up, I know that every preacher, every generation before me has felt these feelings, but can I tell you, we're closer than any generation that's ever been before us. We're seeing signs that cannot be denied in our world. And I'm excited about what God's gonna do this week, but it wouldn't surprise me a bit if before Friday ever gets here, you and I are looking at each other around the throne room. So let's get ready. Let's get ready. I don't want to be twiddling my thumbs when the Lord calls me home. Amen. I want to know that when that rapture takes place that I'm ready, doing everything that I can for him. Amen. Hebrews chapter 8. Let's begin reading from verse 6. Thank you for the opportunity. It's so good to see everybody here. So many good friends that we have. It's always wonderful to see Brother Donnie Goodwin and Brother Tommy. And I guess I've known Brother Tom Goodwin in this room about as long as I've known anybody. And known me way from way back when I was just a kid, Dad preaching at his church. Lots of friends, lots of longtime friends and prayer warriors, people that we love in this place. Always good to see Brother Tom. And I want us subconsciously, maybe not even subconsciously, but there's a lot of people that if God tarries is just in a building over here behind us. They're coming. They're the next generation. Individuals that if the Lord tarries, they'll be over in here next year. And let's pray for Brother Benny Torbett, Sister Torbett. Let's believe that God's going to move and help them this week. Not just limit God's prayers and what we desire to happen in this room, but that God will bless everything that's going on these grounds. Amen. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. If you're there tonight, just say amen. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins. Listen, young people, and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth waxeth old and is ready to vanish away. Young people, as heirs of Christ's kingdom, this church and this generation is partakers of this new covenant spiritual blessings. In the hour in which we live right now, we live under the blessings of this covenant. I look at this, and what I find is that it is contrary and unlike the old covenant in the fact that when God made the old covenant with the children of Israel at Sinai, it was a conditional covenant that when they abandoned it, God abandoned them. This new covenant, I find, is one of promise. How much has our nation turned from God, and yet his mercy is reigning supreme right here, right now? How much has many churches turned away from what they know to be doctrines of biblical truth, and yet God's mercy and grace still abides with us? I find that this new covenant is a promise, and that this new covenant is based upon spiritual interchange. It is not written on stone, but it is written on the tables of our hearts. Its followers are those that know Jesus Christ. If God will help me, and I know, I want you to hear me just a moment before you're seated and we pray. I know that in youth camp, we are at times, I feel pressure to be demonstrative and make sure that I'm showing you as much as I'm preaching to you what I believe is right. Sometimes a physical illustration is good for the eyes. But tonight, if you'll allow me, I just want to preach to you right out of my heart. If God would anoint me for just a few minutes, I want to preach about a new covenant, a revolution, and a sleeping church. A new covenant, a revolution, and a sleeping church. I'm going to ask the young men from OBI. I know that some of them aren't feeling well right now, but we're going to believe God to touch their bodies. I'm going to ask them all to raise their hands right now and take us to the Lord in prayer. And as they begin to lead us audibly, I want you as a church, come on, let's us as a body, let's let them lead and let's follow into prayer. And let's ask God to send an anointing that expedites his power and his move and gives us a breakthrough on this very first night. Brothers, would you lead us to the Lord in prayer? God, we love you right now. God, we come with that expectancy. Let your power, your anointing fill this place. God, I need your anointing. God, touch these feeble lips of clay. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. God, awaken our spiritual man. Open our hearts, God, to receive from you. Let our minds be poised to be ready to receive. God, I pray that you would touch every life. God, I pray that you'd single every individual out. Deal with us tonight. God, draw us close to you. Give us what is needed for this first night of camp. We'll give you the glory, the honor, the praise for it all. Hallelujah. 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 And everybody said amen. You can be seated. May God bless you tonight. I feel as if tonight it's just as obvious. I was wondering it, not questioning myself, but even praying, getting ready for this service. There was something in me that, Lord, I want to make sure that I've got the right message for the right time. I want to make sure that it's apples of gold and pictures of silver. I want to know that I've got your will for this very first service. As I come in tonight, I can feel it. It's almost oppressive at times. The sleepy atmosphere that I find that is in the church. I'm not pointing anybody out. I understand that we're tired in body. I'm simply just talking about the way that we have worshiped. We've given God good glory tonight. But at the same time, there is this lethargicness that is within the church that cannot be denied. One that almost feels as if we've got plenty of time until the Lord returns. There's no need to get in a hurry. There's no need to really make plans that we receive something right away. We've got all week long. Can I declare this simple story to you? When I was a little boy, I'll never forget, I heard the story of old Rip Van Winkle, if I'm the only one. Anybody ever heard of Rip Van Winkle? That old pop culture classic. There's about three or four, five, maybe six. But I started looking at this, and here's what I told it to my kids, and they liked it a lot. So I kept telling them and talking to them about it. The long story that's made short is this, is that there was a man that lived close to the Catskill Mountains. It was somebody that everybody liked. He was an easygoing guy. Everybody seemed to like him, everybody in town, except for his wife. And as the story goes, she was a nag, and she was always on him and always giving him fits and was never satisfied with anything that he did. And she was always seemingly up in the air. She was like an angel harping on something. And so one day he tried to get out of her presence and get a little bit of peace, and he grabbed his gun and his dog and went out into the woods and began to hunt. Now, that's not to say, this story I'm not telling about anybody's wife, all right? This is a fictional story. Somebody's smile, all right? Somebody thought I'd listen to their parents talking or something. But this story goes that Rip Van Winkle goes out into these woods and he meets somebody and begins to drink a little bit of something with them, and he falls asleep. He wakes up 20 years later, unbeknownst to him, and finds out that this sleepy hollow, this place that he fell asleep in, now he's got a big long beard and his dog is gone and his gun is rusty. He comes walking out of these Catskill Mountains down into the city where he once lived to find that everything was transformed. Everything was changed. There was once a picture. The thing that really stuck out to me is that the store that he had left when he went on his way to the woods had a big picture of King George III. As he came back 20 years later, there's this big story now in its place, this big large picture, and it's of a new man named George Washington. I found it odd that this man had slept through an entire revolution. He was one that had slept through all the gunfire, and that's just a fictional story. I understand that it's not true, but can I declare to us, young people, that today much of the church is about to sleep through a revolution that began about 2,000 years ago. Help me preach this a few moments, okay? It took place on Calvary, and what I find is that it caused a revival to sweep this land and to cover the earth like the water covers the sea. I've come to declare to you tonight that it may look bad in our land right now, and I'm not here to argue about how dark it is. I agree that our nation is in a mess, but can I submit to you, if you could look through spiritual eyes, you would understand that
the kingdom of darkness is being thwarted and overthrown and dispelled by the kingdom of light. You would see through spiritual eyes that the kingdom of light, the church, is overcoming the adversary. And though things look bad in the natural, things are looking good in the spiritual. The Lord is getting ready to come back and claim his bride. Things have never been more ripe. Things have never been any better than what they are right now in the spiritual realm. And it is time that we as the church that are living in these end times begin to do what the church was called to do, and that is to go into this world and to preach this gospel to every listening creature. The Bible declares, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Does anybody feel the personal weight and the personal responsibility of understanding that as close to the end times as we are right now, there has never been a time that this command has been more of a reality, that there are ears that need to hear, that there is a new covenant that has begun, and we can preach to them through the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ that he made in the New Testament. You and I can declare that as bad as it is in this world, it is a wonderful time to be a child of God. Oh, hallelujah. Let me just preach a little bit about the fact that this old covenant was not something that was terrible, but I find that the old covenant, Jesus Christ himself came, replaced it. But I look at this, here's what I find. The old covenant, if it had been perfect, there would have been no need for a new covenant. But what I find is this fact, that this was not an imperfection found in the planning of God. It wasn't that God made something that was not good enough. It wasn't that this was something that was imperfected from the beginning, but I find that it all has everything to do with the disobedience in humanity. If Adam and Eve had lived according to God's plan in the Old Testament, young people, there would have been no need for a New Testament. Can I say that again? It's not that God wasn't perfect in the beginning. If you and I had lived according to his plan in the Old Testament, there would be no need for a New Testament. But man sinned and created a need for a redeemer. Oh, the hopelessness that would be if you and I had never known the reality of the New Testament. If the writing would have finished with Malachi and 400 years of silence. Can I tell you, we'd still be sick, we'd still be depressed, we'd still be lonely, we would be dejected, full of disparity, and full of desperation. But I've come to give somebody some good news, that after 400 years of silence, God sent his son to a manger, hallelujah, to live for 30 odd years with one purpose, walking a world that he helped create. That purpose was to establish a new covenant through the shed blood that he gave. Hallelujah. Hebrews declares, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Here's what I've come to preach to you, is that a chapter 11 of Hebrews gives us a summary of what the saints of God were able to do under the old covenant. Can I tell you, even under this old covenant, I find the Bible declares, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. I could go on and read what they did, but can I tell you, they accomplished all this under the guise of an old covenant that had no blood that was shed at Calvary, that had no endowment of power, that came in a Holy Ghost filled upper room. Can I tell you that I find that yet under all this, killing giants, destroying lions, fire that could not burn them, I find that God said, it is not enough. I'm going to establish a new covenant. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be be made perfect. I don't know about you, but it excites me to know that I've got something more than what David did when he stepped out on a battlefield to fight a giant. I don't know about you, but it excites me to know that they weren't made perfect without me in a lion's den, nor in a fiery furnace. Can I tell somebody, this new covenant preached to a New Testament church and utterly declares that the God that is within us now is not one that is just leading, not just one that is guiding us, but he said, I'm going to be in you. I'll be around you. I'll be for you. And nobody can be against you. You and I are living under the promises and the power of a covenant that is better than the Old Testament. Thank God that he didn't leave it the same way, but he gave us something to perfect us, the church together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God put this new covenant in motion with a divine revolution. I'm not a Bible college graduate. I should be, but I'm not. So I still go to Webster's a lot. So y'all just bear with me a moment. I found that a revolution is a sudden, extreme, or complete change in the way people live or work. It's the overthrow or renunciation of one government or ruler and the substitution of another by the governed. I really like this part. A fundamental change in the way of thinking. I've already been called, and I've been talked to a little bit about what's going to go on at this camp. This world is trying to pour us into a form of thinking. They're trying to mold us into their thoughts, their desires. They're trying to keep us from being offensive with the truth. But can I declare to you that a revolution begun 2,000 years ago? Hallelujah. And though facts may reign supreme, I find the truth is that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things have become new. How much has things changed since Jesus died 2,000 years ago? Let me take it back even a few years prior to that, when he walked this earth and we find a man that could multiply bread, take a couple hush puppies and a few sardines and feed 5,000 people. How much has your way of thinking changed since Jesus began to walk upon the water, when everything around you felt like it was going to kill you, utterly destroy you, but you find that our Savior comes walking flat-footed upon the things that cause us fear and dread? How much has our mind changed since he brought you out of the darkness and put you in marvelous light? How much has your way of thinking changed extremely since he gave you a faith that says, I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me? Not because I'm deserving, not because I'm worthy, not because I'm talented, but because he chose me from the foundation of the earth. It's a revolution that has begun. Let me preach it. There's been many revolutions, some with great impact in this world. But here's what I find. Many men have tried to conquer the world, but few have ever succeeded. Not the world. I look at this, here's what I find. Alexander the Great was one of the first and only. The age of 17, he sat down on the great steps of the Colosseum in Rome, put his hands on his head and bent over and began to weep aloud. I find this is what history declares, that his generals rushed to his side and urgently asked him why he was weeping. I quote what he said, there are no more worlds left to conquer. We find that very few men have ever been able to declare or make this statement that they had nothing else left as a consequence or a conquest. You find men like Adolf Hitler, but they died in their quest. Another came very close. His name was Napoleon. It was said that he would gather his warlords together all in one room. They would get in that large room, spread a map upon a large table. As they would review that map and prepare for war. Many times it was said that suddenly his finger would raise into the air and would plunge into the middle of that map, into a little red spot in the middle of the ocean. This little red spot is known as England. It's called England today. I find that his face would cringe and he would contort and he would raise his voice and he would roar these words: if it were not for that red spot, I would conquer the world. Can I just simply declare this to you, ladies and gentlemen? There has been another tyrant that has sought to rule this old world. He has done everything he can to take over every home and every family. But there's a lonely hillside just outside of Jerusalem where a carpenter hung between heaven and earth. Hallelujah! Hung between the heavens and the earth. And I find that as he hung there, the demonic world trembles, and I can hear the devil as he raises a bony pointed finger and plunges it at the foot of an old rugged cross. And he declares, if it were not for the red spot at the foot of that cross, I would conquer the world. Can I tell you, since that day, a revolution has begun. Men don't have to die lost. Women don't have to die lost. Man, what a wonderful thing it is to know that God gave his all for those that could in turn give him nothing. But he made a way so that you and I could stand and declare that the devil has not won. There's a revolution started. Wake up, church. There's a revolution that's begun. The world needs to know. We've got the news. God help us to awaken and declare that that red spot is still one that sinners plunge in and lose all their guilty stains. Thank God for that red spot at Calvary that has held the adversary at bay in our life. Somebody raise your hands. Somebody declare God's good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It is time, I'm almost done preaching. It's time for our modern day John the Baptist to come out of the wilderness. Where are you, youth leaders? If you brought somebody, stand up. If you're here, you're staying as a dorm mom or a dorm dad, stand up. If you're a pastor of a church somewhere, stand up. If you're a minister of the gospel, cry aloud. Spare not. Let the world know that the revolution has begun. Don't miss it. How many of us that stood up at times in our Christian life have been guilty of sleeping through some of the greatest moves of God? Spiritually, God is moving and trying to deal and touch and work in our youth groups, in our churches. And I find that too many times we are just sleeping through what God is trying to do. I'm almost done. You can be seated. I find that in 1815, Napoleon rolled out his map again right before the Battle of Waterloo, and his finger once again traced the jagged edge of a great nation. This is what he declared: gentlemen, here lies a sleeping giant. If it ever recognizes its mineral wealth and ties it to its manpower, let the world bow its knee to it and tremble. He outlined the nation of China, saying, it is a sleeping giant. Shh, let it sleep. Shh, don't arouse it from its slumber. Shh, just let it sleep. Can I declare to us tonight in like manner, I can see as the devil reviews the map of the ages, and this is what I believe you would hear him declare: let them wallow in their religiosity. Let them have their church socials, their committees, and their programs. Let them come to church and sing the songs of Zion and soothe their guilty conscience. Let them feel good about coming to Truth Camp and associating with one another. Let them come and learn a new song, hear a little bit of preaching, and tickle their ears. But can I declare to you that this is what the devil wants no one to know, that if this sleeping giant ever understands the power that is in that shed blood, if this sleeping giant that is the church ever wakes up and recognizes the authority that is in the name of Jesus, if this sleeping giant ever recognizes the overcoming victory that we can declare, it will be said of us again, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is the picture that Jesus painted of the last day church. Not one that was cowering, not one that was hiding, but one that was on the march, one that was obstructing all the things of hell, one that was beating on the gate where the devil lives, saying, let them out, let them out, let them out. You can't hold them. The price has been paid. The blood has been shed. Wake up, church. The revolution has begun.
I find that revolutions don't come without a fight. And if some of us would be honest, we're just too slap lazy. Because we'll start a fight if we can do it physically. But if I got to get on my knees to do it, how long has it been since some of you just got on your knees with the intent of picking a fight? Are you hearing what I'm saying? How long has it been, young men, since you just got so mad with the flesh and the world that's around you that you got down with the intent that says, I'm not here just to count a rosary. I'm not here just to go through the motions. I'm not just here for another thank you, Lord, for another beautiful day. I'm not here for another I lay me down to sleep, or thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I'm here to look the devil in the eye and call him out. Say, I'm tired of the way you're affecting my life. I'm tired of the way you're affecting my worship. I'm tired of the way that you're keeping us glued to our seats, making us not to be the one that identifies himself as jumping up. You know why some of you ain't stood up yet? Because you don't want to be the first one. You'd rather blend with the crowd. You'd rather be the one that just follows everybody else. Some of you won't ever be the first to step out and say, I'm going to the altar. But can I tell you, the church that God is looking for, the revolution began with one man that said, I'll leave all the comforts of heaven, and I will give my all for a group of people that I'm not promised will give me anything in return. I don't know about any of you, but it makes me want to stand up and say, I'll be identified with the blood of Jesus Christ, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of the price that was paid. I'm not ashamed to be a part of this revolution. I'm ready to strap on my sword. I'm ready to fight, for the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought and obedience to the obedience of Christ. God, help us to wake up as the army, to stand as the church, to wake up. God, wake us, wake us, wake us, wake us, wake us. The revolution has begun. God, awake us spiritually. These signs shall follow them that believe. I want to be the serpent handling, drinking deadly poison, full of the Holy Ghost, casting out devils, laying hands on the sick kind of individual that strikes fear in the heart of our adversary. Let the devils tremble again. Y'all folks know that I don't believe in handling snakes. But in the world we're living in right now, we're not going to make it without handling a few. Not because we're tempting God, but because we've got an adversary that's tempting us. Look at this preacher and understand this. I don't want to be caught when the rapture takes place and stand before God and know that this great price was paid for this new covenant opportunity. The revolution had begun. Him say, what did you do with it? Me have to say, I slept. I didn't sin. I didn't commit any iniquity, but I didn't tell nobody. I didn't put the word out. And I didn't pick any fights with the devil's sentries that he has marching around the homes of those that go to my church. Don't go to sleep. The rapture is about to take place. I remember being a little boy and it being preached so hot, so real, that there was times, Brother Andrew, I'd go home, 11 and 12 years old, I'd be almost afraid, literally, to go to sleep because I felt like the Lord was coming back. How long has it been since you woke up and the first thought on your mind was, wonder if this is the day that he comes back? If most of us was honest, there's weeks that go by. And finally, some preacher will preach about the coming of the Lord and awaken our senses. And for a few days, we'll get excited about the revolution. And we'll slowly drift right back to sleep. We'll take two or three nights at youth camp and finally something will break us through. We'll get fired up. We're going to go win the world. And sometime over the course of the next year, we just slide back into this comfortable spot of mediocrity. Social media takes more time than the Bible does. All these other little things of life begin to take the place. But I can look in some of your eyes right now. God's called you for more than what you're doing right now. Can I just simply say this?
Wake up!
Signs of the time are everywhere. The Lord is coming back. You are not the youth group of tomorrow or the church of tomorrow. You are the army of today. God wants you to stand up. Say, I'll fight in this army. If that's you, I want you to stand right now. I'll fight in this army. I'm not going to sleep through the revolution. I'm not going to let the adversary come in and take over my nation without a fight. I'm not going to let them pass laws in my country and me sit down and take it laying down and act like it's okay. No, I'm not going to sleep through what's going on, but I'm going to wake up, and with every spiritual ounce and every fiber of the faith that he's put within me, I'm going to become a part of this revolution. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. My wife's coming to the piano. Those of you that would help us would come. God, I love you. I thank you right now for your precious blood that was shed. God, I pray that those that are standing on their feet right now aren't just standing there because they want to be a part of what everybody else is doing, but God, that it's a personal commitment, one that says, Lord, this is for you. It's because I love you this much. God, would you move in this altar call? God, don't let this just be an average, ordinary night at youth camp. God, don't let truth camp start out, have to work its way up. God, help us right now to lay hold upon the horns of the altar and see a difference made in our resolve and our life. God, wake us up spiritually. Let us leave this place feeling your power, God, like we've never felt it before. Bring us back to a spiritual renewal where we realize and we understand that your power is all around us. God, you're just as real as the person standing next to me in this room. Don't let me sleep through this revolution. God, help me to be the spark that ignites my church. God, help me to be the person that lets the world around me know the reality of your power. Yes, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you, son.
more I want to be, more like you. Oh, you can take my life, and you can make my life all that you want it to be. Lord,
I need a change. I need a change. Wake me up.
Change me, Lord.
Won't you change me, Lord?
Don't
let me stay the same. For I want to be
more like you.
More like you.
You can take my life.
You can make my life.
Make it all that you want it to be.
Oh, Lord, change me.
Oh, change me, dear Lord. Oh, Lord,
come on, young people.
To say that I'm not
satisfied, God.
I
want to be just like you. Generation.
For I want to be more like.
more like you. You can take my life
and you can
make my life,
make it
all that you want it to be. Lord, change me, change me, dear Lord. Make it all that you want it to be. Come on, come on, let him do it, let him do it. Yes, you can make my life, make it all that you want it to be. Change me. Come on, you gotta let him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, you can make my life, make it all that you want it to be. Lord, change me, change me, dear Lord.
And Father, I hear it growing louder. The
This is our song to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing.
Well,
I surrender in my all to you, O Lord.
Oh, I surrender to you.
Come on, let's surrender, surrender.
Let the worshipers
arise.
Right
oh, let the sons and the daughters
sing. Well,
I'm surrendering my all to you, O Lord.
I surrender to the King.
Key.